ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, right here in the bunker, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station. Good morning, everybody, out there in Radical Land. It's the month of January the 19th, Moon's Day. We got a sunshiny day here, but the temperature is dropping. It was down to about 20 this morning. So we expect some more cold weather before the thaw of the spring. Now, I was going to read today to you from Mind of an Assassin, the story of the conspiracy of one lone wolf, James Earl Ray, to take down the Dr. Martin Luther King, and what that was all about. Well, I'll tell you what it was all about, at least the best that I can tell you. James Earl Ray decided to get the guy, and he tracked him. He went all over the country tracking him. Finally tracked him to that motel there in Montgomery, I believe it was, and did the number. One man, one gun. Well, I'll tell you what, I think that was totally the way that happened. However, it's my opinion that very possibly the CIA and the FBI knew exactly what he was up to. Even though they didn't control him, they knew what he was wanting to do, and they wanted it to happen too. And there's so much that indicates that if you'll read the day-to-day and hour-to-hour accounts. So they had two people, two sets of, well, we had James Earl Ray, we had the CIA and the FBI, and everybody wanted him dead. So he got dead. So anyhow, James Earl Ray, I don't believe, had any idea that the CIA and FBI were shadowing him for months. And I don't think that the... Well, anyhow, that's the story as far as I'm concerned. So both sides are sort of correct. The black side and the Jew side, or some of the Jew side and all that, they say, oh, well, it was just one lone wolf. Well, it was one lone wolf that got the job done. But probably in the days and months leading up to it, a few doors were opened and a few things happened that the FBI could have sat down on James Earl Ray, but didn't. So that's my opinion. But anyhow, it sort of pissed me off this morning because two of my best books, Mind of an Assassin and A Code Named Lucy, about the Jew who supplied all the secrets from the German government to the Russians so they knew what the Germans were planning to do before they ever did it. They're all missing out of my library. And one thing I've learned over the years, or I guess I haven't learned, is don't loan out books. I loaned several books over a period of time to Sling Blade. And some of them he had sent back, like he should. But all of a sudden he comes up with this. There was a flood over there or something. His basement apartment or whatever got flooded out, and he lost all his papers and everything, and I told him to send me back my books. I don't care what condition they were in, just send them back. And I had loaned him some electronic gear too, and he has not contacted me, and that's been about 4 or 5 months now. So you gotta understand Tommy, he's paranoid. Yes, I am paranoid. And I'm getting that funny feeling back there in the back of my neck, that hair starting to come up a little bit. He's Sling Blade's got an email address, and I've emailed him several times. He's never emailed me back. Now, I can understand if he wants to go on a trip or do something and he don't want me to know about it, as long as he's not in touch with the feds. But I'm getting very suspicious. There's something screwy going on here. So anyhow, I don't have my books, and I'm pissed off. Well, guess what? You wondered where they got all the money for these demonstrations in Ferguson, Missouri, and so forth? Well, Hungarian billionaire George Soros donated $33 million to causes centered around the Ferguson protests. The money, which the DailyMail.com refers to as a handouts, was revealed in a tax filing from Soros' private foundation named Open Society Foundations. The donation was reportedly spread out among several different organizations that were involved in the protests. Well, Mr. Soros, of course, is a Hungarian Jew, an Ashkenazim. The Ferguson protests, which sparked a global Black Lives Matter campaign to humanize the lives of black boys and men in America, started out locally in the city of Ferguson, Missouri. However, Soros' contribution bolstered it from a local initiative to a national one and kept the media on site to cover the protests. Well, there you go. That's how it works. Our enemies get millions from billionaires, and we get crap. And then you wonder why we hate millionaires and billionaires? Well, that's part of the reason. And whenever any one of these ruling class people bite the dust, make sure you tip a beer and celebrate. Well, let's read a little bit more of this. Activists, I don't think you're going to get this from any right-wing sources or left. Activists from professional groups out of Washington, D.C. and New York were bussed into this small town to coordinate messaging as well as handle press, DailyMail.com reports. The donations was also reported used to keep the number of protesters high over a period of months by bringing in activists throughout the nation. This, along with partnerships Soros organization formed with the media outlets such as Colorlines.com, created what reports are called echo chamber of information and research pertaining to the events that transpired in Ferguson, Staten Island, and Cleveland. The organizations added the content of their social media platforms and liked and shared each other's posts to further push their points of view to readers and social media fans. The director Soros Fund said that the organization was no direct control over the groups. They give the money too and are all trying to improve accountability. Yeah, right. Soros is a known liberal and race mixer and all that stuff, who has contributed millions of dollars to the Democrat Party over the years. Some speculate his contributions merely a ploy to encourage black Americans to vote for Democrat president in 2016. If black America is serious about ushering in a new wave of social activism for civil rights, does accepting donations from people who are not from the community and are seeking to push their political agenda upon black Americans a wise thing to do? Well, as long as it works, I guess so. I guess so, as long as it works. Hey, you remember Michael Vick, the black man, the black football player? He was such a wonderful player, but he hated dogs and he liked to make money off seeing the tearing up and brutalizing of our friends, the dogs. Well, in 2008, Michael Vick was in Leavenworth prison doing time for various charges of animal cruelty and other crimes against animals. He had also managed to rack up nearly $18 million in debt and was forced to file for bankruptcy. He owed a good amount to creditors and was no longer collecting income from the NFL. At this point, he was making 12 cents an hour mopping floors at the prison. It would have taken him 60,000 years to pay his creditors at that rate. In 2010, Vick made a comeback in the NFL, where all they care about is money. They don't give a shit if you kill people or what. With the Philadelphia Eagles, and signed a contract earning $49 million over 5 years. Remember, these big sports corporations are just as vicious as any of the other corporations. Vick was awarded a Comeback Player of the Year award that season. This new opportunity in his life has given him the chance to pay off his debt. There you go. That's the way it works in this country. And that's why if you think corporations are really good for the country and good for the honesty and against corruption, well, I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge real cheap, man. I'll even throw in the Right Reverend Al Sharpton to stand on it. Now, I'm going to read this directly from my monitor. And I don't know for sure, but I think this doctor who wrote this article is a nigga. Let's be clear. There are millions of black people who've been taught to believe that they're niggers. If you don't believe me, just ask the radio and listen to the radio and count the number of times you hear the statements like, "I'm a thug nigga," unquote. "I'm a rich nigga," unquote. "I'm a nigga in Paris," unquote. Of course, we can make the distinction between the ending with an A and the ending with an ER. And that distinction does matter to a point. But what is also true is that even ending the word with an A still means that you may have been tempted to adopt specific self-destruction behavioral patterns consistent with your badge of nigga honor, unquote. For the purposes of this article, I'll use the ER ending, since that's how I wrote it in the original piece. We can debate the A versus ER ending at a later date. I'm going to focus this article on men, but there's another thing to remember. To be a full-fledged nigger or nigga, gender is irrelevant. You can be male, female, or even transgender. The key is that you are fully indoctrinated into every type of brainwashing that the white man has made available to you. See, the white man's fault. Always the white man. Why don't they ever say the rich corporate white man? They say all white men. You can get nigger training from your friends, your family, or even your local radio station. America's army of niggers is growing daily. And they're always looking for a few good coons. Remember, I didn't write this. This is funny. So if you're wondering what a black man looks like when he has not yet been transformed into a nigger, here are some differences that you'll want to keep in mind. Well, one, a black man prides himself on seeking knowledge and education, even if he doesn't have much to begin with. A nigga just loves being ignorant and might think it's okay to be illiterate since he knows how to dribble a basketball. Two, A black man saves and invests his money to build wealth for his family. He might even start his own business. A nigger will brag to you about how he spent $1,000 at the club last night and will often be seen throwing money in the air. He also makes fun of the black man with his own business because the big white corporation has given him a fancy job with a big office so he can live paycheck to paycheck until he cries racism after being downsized. 3. A black man supports black-owned businesses so they can create jobs for other black people, which is racism among blacks is okay. It's criminal for whites to do it. A nigger thinks black businesses are second rate and would much rather spend his money on a $200 pair of Air Jordans at the Foot Locker. A black man takes care of his children, provides them with love, guidance, and support they need. A nigger doesn't know his kids' middle names, doesn't plan for their future, and doesn't even know who's taking care of his offspring. When he dies, he has no life insurance, even though he just took a picture on Facebook in front of a stack of cash. A niggerette doesn't want the child's father in his life and lets any old man into her house so he can molest her kids when she's not looking. She also might remind her kids on how they don't need their daddies, since she doesn't need a man either. A black man tries to live productive lifestyle and avoid incarceration if possible. If he is incarcerated, he uses his experience to gain a chance for redemption and the opportunity to help other young men learn from his mistakes. A nigger thinks that going to jail is a badge of honor, never learns from his mistakes, and is happy to see his mama go broke, bailing him out every time he does something stupid. When he violates his parole, it might be over something silly and unnecessary. The dirty pee in a cup from smoking weed every day, or carrying a gun to the strip club so he can imitate his favorite rapper, keeping it real. A black man is somewhat disciplined about his sexual choices. If he likes the ladies, he at least tries to respect the women he interacts with and tries to be responsible about his health. He doesn't worry about getting AIDS virus. What do I care? I'm just screwing white women. A nigger just wants to have a flock of hoes and hasn't been tested for an STD in the last 14 years. His penis is like a water gun spraying fire at any working vagina within a 100-mile radius. If any kids are born as a result of his sexual conquest, he has no interest in paying child support, even if he's got the money. After all, his baby mamas don't need no man. Why should they need him to send money? Okay. A black man, despite his mistakes, seeks to grow as a person and become more responsible. A nigger has no concern about living in his mama's basement and assumes that somebody else is going to take care of the kids he's making every year. Condoms don't exist in the mind of a true nigger. Just like Bobby Seale used to say, raping a white woman is a revolutionary act. Or just screwing one is a revolutionary act. There's also nothing wrong with playing Xbox in his drawers in the living room couch till he's 39 years old. How else will he be able to keep working to get that record deal? A black man might start off as a rebellious teenager, but in adulthood eventually pulls up his pants and at least tries to live a life of dignity, even if he's dead broke. A nigger forever sagging, even at the age of 35, in the nigger's mind, he's going to be 19 years old forever. A black man is willing to take up arms to defend the community and protect his children. A nigger will take up arms and go kill another nigger. The murder might even be over something stupid, like a man stepping on his shoes at the club or giving him a funny look. some real niggers have killed more black men than the entire Ferguson Police Department. A black man will recite hip-hop lyrics that speak on how brilliant, proud, powerful, strong, and intelligent he is, as well as the richness of black history. A nigger will recite lyrics bragging about how he's high and sloppy drunk all the time and glad to get behind the wheel while he does it. A black man may want to study Howard University or Morehouse College and learn about the greatness of his people. The nigger presumes he's far better off at Harvard or Yale, since everything white is better. He also thinks everything good was invented by a white man, and that acceptance by the white people is the holy grail of Negro achievement. Although he may sometimes date outside his race, the black man exalts and appreciates the beauty of black women. The nigger explains to you why he only wants to date white women because they will give him pretty kids with good hair. A black man is quite simply a man. He stands up against racism, protects those that he loves, and is a block of power on which you build strong communities. A nigger is both a little boy and one who thinks that the black man I've just described is acting white. He cares nothing about black collective. He doesn't feel that he, nor any black celebrity, has any obligation to give back to his community, including Barack Obama. He also is the one who will read this article and say that I'm being uppity for even mentioning the idea of black self-reliance and personal responsibility. In fact, he's complaining on my Facebook page right now. On a serious note, the truth is that we are not perfect. Most of us have been infected with the nigger virus on some level, myself included. It's all rooted in slavery, which affects us still today. Well, there you go. That's always... Well, blame the goddamn mercantile people, the ruling class. Don't blame the white working class. But we'd be idiots not to realize how this flawed and destructive thinking is ruining our communities and keeping us enslaved. Yeah, well, toss in Christianity, too. You've been enslaved in that for a long time. Also, as much as people want to read a polite, political, correct article that makes everyone feel good, the truth is that times are too serious for us to bullshit each one another. At this point in our history, we have two choices, either strengthen ourselves or perish. The Democrats don't love you. The Republicans want to see you dead. The school systems want to keep your children stupid. White people aren't going to ever give you enough good jobs. And prison industrial complex sees your sons as a source of high profitable food. If we do not hunker down and protect ourselves and our families, we will continue to be class clowns of the American society. Part of the financial Dune Teeth new paradigm concept is to help all of us heal the ways of thinking that hold us back so we can take a new approach to life and will allow us to live as free and empowered human beings. So I didn't write this article for everyone. I only wrote it for my fellow runaway slaves who are tired of living on somebody else's plantation. I wrote this for black people who aren't afraid to stand up to the niggers and tell them that we're not going to let you destroy our community. Our revolution must begin with the mind, and we must protect our children from all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Some of these enemies might also have a black face. I would say that at least half of them do. It's really that simple. This is Dr. Boyce Watkins. He's author of a lecture series, The Eight Principles of the Black Male Empowerment, and so forth. You can go up on the internet and find him, but You know, if we had to deal with those kind of black people, I think we could make a deal. We could make a deal because we're not into subjugating blacks or re-enslaving blacks, but it's the power structure in the United States that's not racist in our favor, even though people try to make it seem that way. Their racism is towards predatory capitalism. Always was, always will be. So, anyhow, I thought you might enjoy that. I'll send it to you, and you should make copies and hand it out to whoever. Well, I see here in the comments section that Dr. Boyce Watkins is works at the University of Kentucky. And he said, thanks for your comments on this article. I'm not sure why I wrote it. God just sends me sparks of inspiration, and I act on them. I honestly didn't feel good about using the nigger word, the N-word, but there is a part of me that becomes frustrated with having to be nice when our people are in danger. I am old school in that I believe that men have to be men and stand up for their communities. Gee, that's an odd position. I wish some whites would take that on. Also, standing up for your people can sometimes mean realizing that a person is not your ally just because they are black. Well, I say the same thing about whites. I wouldn't trust 95% of them as far as I could throw them, even though I'm for saving the white race. Hopefully it'll eventually get smart, do the right thing. But as far as trusting them, no. They're just not educated enough and understanding and haven't been down the road. Ends his comment with saying, for those who are offended by this article, I apologize, but I'm not taking back a thing. In fact, it actually was kind of fun to write. He's a ballsy Negro. Here's another comment. This is not so good. This is Lisa Hillbrand. She works at the Boone County Schools, Boone County, West Virginia. My God, how can you even say the name, nigger? God, with a hate speech, you are inciting on many levels. Also, the inaccuracies are also incredulous. Oh, she's not happy with this boy. Oh, here's another one. Another black mulatto. The mulattoes get more upset than anybody else. You got to understand that, and for obvious reasons. They think they've made it past the color line. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Lisa Hildebrand, with all the racist jealousy against us still in the world, who in the world told this lowlife he could call anybody a nigger? Is that why he didn't call out those who used the ignorant N-word against each other? Never wonder where racists get their minds from, because they speak out things that they wouldn't naturally know to insult. He is that feed and others like him. The Spirit of God gave him none of this. He is a continual hater and not the true helper of young black men. He would rather ignore 400 years of industrialized racism and double blame the victim. He needs to leave help of the younger brothers in the hands of those who are decent, strong, mature, and equipped to handle it. His continual focus is starting to look more like a sexual predator, because, like any abuser, they warn their victims ahead of time. And she kept saying more, but you got to go farther. Oh, man, this is funny. Uh-huh. Here's another one. Yeah, where was it? I missed this. Oh, yeah. You sound like you're an admirer of the Fox News crew. Well, the Fox News crew is full of hypocrites. There's so goddamn many hypocrites on Fox News, it's unbelievable. Here's another comment. Wait, what, we are now differentiating black people from niggers? Oh, wow. So niggers was a term used to describe our ancestors as slaves, and now we're using it on our fellow brothers and sisters as an insult. It shows how much intelligence this writer and everyone else agreeing really manifests. how disgusting and disgraceful. You should feel ashamed of yourself for your stupid comments. Now remember, Negro, I forget how it was it meant black. And so, since I believe in Spanish, so that term was used to honestly identify people by their color. And then gradually it was, you know, went along and it could be used as an insult, alleged insult. But it originates from a reality. This one's pretty interesting. Owner and editor of the NoPartySystem.com, John Means. The truth hurts. Every ethnic community in America is buying into hateful, to be hateful, frivolous, apathetic behavior that allows the party to dictate our thoughts and actions. Step one is removing the Democrat-Republican Party from the political power in America and start taking this government over on a local level. As power as the powers that be try to exploit our differences, now is the time to find our commonalities and stand in solidarity against the sophistry and fear-mongering. I wish more people had the courage to come forward and call their people out in such a truthful manner. Well, I've heard a lot of black people on the black radio, because, you know, on XM radio, there's about three or four of them now. And there's some pretty good stuff on there, and I think I heard this man or somebody like him saying this before. And just maybe last night, that as far as there was something here I had on the tip of my tongue. What has to be done is to get rid of the Democrat Republican Party, but also understanding that separation is the best way to go, even though it's a hard way to go, but it's the best way to go. It never can exist as long as there's forced and encouraged interracial activity, because you're not going to breed it out. You're just going to breed another level of it through the mulattoes and so forth. And so we can figure this thing out and we can come to some conclusions, but it can't be very based on eliminating the white race by mixing and fornicating with Negroes. But I sure agree on getting rid of both of these parties. They're useless to us, but they're totally useful to the predatory capitalists. So we can have dialogue whenever it's possible. Now, if you want to read more of what the other so-called other side is thinking, like I met with a lady and did an interview with her yesterday. It's funny because she's a stringer for a black magazine out of Indianapolis called, let's see, I've got it here on my bench. It's a very slick magazine. Boy, they got some money behind this. Indiana Minority Business Magazine. You can go on the internet and find it. The article about me is not going to appear for a while, and I don't doubt that it'll be totally perverted and turned around. Anyhow, she's a white woman reporter, and I spent about 2 hours with her, but I probably didn't get across to her much of anything, because, you know, she's not going to write glowingly about Tom Metzger in a black magazine, but it's an interesting magazine to check in on and read the comments in there about different articles. The outfit is called Financial Juneteenth, J-U-N-E-T-E-E-N-T-H, Financial Juneteenth, and they have a website. Wait a minute, if you're interested. And I'm interested. I'm always listening to all kinds of input from different races and so forth. And I listen to things off of Israel Radio and all that kind of stuff, because if you're going to really be able to contribute to solving our problem, you can't be like the right wing who only talk to right wingers, only right wing racists who just continue to talk to each other, and it just don't work. It just don't work. Okay, that address is www.IndianaMinorityBusinessMagazine.com. And if you desire to, you can go up there and read some of their stuff. Don't expect them to say you're wonderful, but it's good to keep your eye on opposition or quasi-friends and all that kind of stuff. Otherwise, like I say, you don't know shit from apple butter, and you get on a stage and try to debate somebody, and even the lowliest nigger will probably debate you under the table. For sure you wouldn't have a chance against a Jew, an educated Jew, maybe even a non-educated Jew. I'd sure like to debate George Soros. That would be an interesting debate, at least to me. And so you got the billionaire Soros type on the one side, working for our destruction. And then you got the other brothers, what the hell is their name? I forget them, on the right, so-called right. There's really no billionaires on any side in the end. But they're financing this crazy-ass Tea Party, which is not going anywhere. But so you got billionaires controlling the situation on all sides. Back in the 70s, and back in there, it was the Hunt brothers that were controlling the situation as billionaires. So there's always billionaires behind all this crap. You'd think people on all sides would figure that out pretty soon. You're being manipulated by the billionaires in the ruling class. Well, I see here that one of our associates sent me some information here from, I guess it was on Fox News. It has to do with DNA. And the comment is, it is reasonable to assume that the Department of Defense, DOD, has empirical evidence of Negro intellectual inferiority compared to whites or Asians. Reston, Virginia-based Parabon Nanolabs, with funding from the Department of Defense, has debuted a breakthrough type analysis called DNA phenotyping, which the company says can predict a person's physical appearance from the tiniest DNA samples, like a speck of blood or a strand of hair. Evidently, they've solved a double murder. I haven't read the article. Well, it's interesting, because it's going to be interesting, because I'm saying, well, when are they going to get the Jew DNA? Because that DNA is going to come up in all the races, because they are mixed race people. Something I can't seem to get through the right wing's head, that you never see a DNA report come up and say Jewish, because their religion and their ethnocentric ideas have nothing to do with their, I mean, nothing to do directly with their race. When they were so busy running the DNA of Craig Cobb, they should have run the DNA of Albert Einstein and a few of these people. All of these big shot Jews, and you'd find them, most of them were, you know, come in from the crossbreeding of Asians and Africans and all that kind of stuff. Anyhow, that's an interesting thing. I wouldn't trust it, because anything that might be pro us as white Aryan people, I don't think they're going to put out, unless they've got some nefarious way of twisting it around and using it. Well, that's quite interesting. I went to copy and send that article and information to you, but it won't work, so maybe they've found a new technique to where you can't copy that way and cut and paste. But anyhow, you can look it up with it was on the foxnews.com, and I think you pretty well got the idea what I'm talking about anyhow. Well, I see by Mrs. Matt Hale's mother, Evelyn Hutchison, that they now have a website for Matt called freematthale.net. So And also, I want to remind you that today I'm sending out, they won't go out today, they'll go out tomorrow, five $25 donations to our friends, POWs. And I tell them that this is coming from my supporters, and then I'm transferring it on to you, so they'll know that that you're out there and you're helping. I may start sending one of those $25 donations to another POW now, because it looks like Matt Hale's getting quite a bit of support. I'm not sure, but I think he is. I also cautioned his mother, like a lot of neophyte relatives of POWs that really don't know the score, or not much of the score, that she should have these people send their snail mail to her, and she should check these letters out before she sends them on to Matt, because they take every one of these letters and put them in a file for when you come up for a parole or appeal or whatever it is, and use it against you, just like they did Gary Yarbrough. So I hope she follows that, because I know that there's a lot of nutball right-wingers out there that's liable to say anything. Well, here's your mulatto in chief speaking when he met with the British counterpart jerk. Quote, "It's not that our law enforcement or our intelligence service is so much better, although they are very good," unquote, the president said, "but rather that they have a big advantage in the U.S. it has over Europe in terms of decreased levels of violent extremism, is that our Muslim populations, they feel themselves to be Americans. And there is this incredible process of immigration and assimilation, that's part of our tradition. That's probably our greatest strength," unquote. What an asshole. You might as well have said, well, our greatest asset in the United States is we're getting rid of white people by assimilation. Well, what do you expect from a member of the new mulatto generation, the new mulatto nation? And we have a note here from one of our lone wolves out there. "TT, I saw an American Sniper movie last night. It was a packed house, as I expected. As a film, it was good. I didn't think it lived up to all the expectations surrounding it. Of course, movies like this are pretty much always going to get a crowd that's going to cheer, especially when you kill somebody in another country." That I added that. There was a scene in the movie where the lead in the movie was asked why he keeps going back to Iraq. And he says, because, quote, "they are savages." I am saying that this guy killed thousands of people from hundreds of feet out, including women and children. Not to mention the other countless people his Navy SEAL unit killed, and I'm asking, what the fuck is the difference between this sniper and the Iraqi people? In the end, he proudly says he's proud of every shot he took. That's why I say Platoon is the best war movie, because we see and hear both sides. Well, I agree. Platoon is one of my top movies. Apocalypse Now was, but more in the end, when Marlon Brando was talking. I liked that. Now, I went to see Black Hat yesterday, and it was a crummy movie as far as I'm concerned. It was promoted to be really a big thing, but it was a little boring for a high-budget movie. I wouldn't spend much money on it, I'll tell you that. If I didn't get a senior citizen discount, I wouldn't have gone. Very interesting why it's wonderful and great and it's patriotic and they're bringing more of these movies on all the time. A lot of it points to our weakness more than strength, because it's taking movies that are fantastic, aggressive, and kill everybody, and we're the best, to keep these people going, because the average person still believes that. He still believes we're top-notch. He does. he doesn't realize that unconventional warfare is far more dangerous than like the French president sailing a new aircraft carrier, battleship, one of the two, over there to the coast of Africa. So what the fuck does that do? Maybe they've got airplanes on it, or fighters, but if unconventional warfare in any country wants to last long enough, and they can last forever because they can hand it down from father to son, you can't beat them. You can't beat them. You go broke before you beat them. Look what the partial cause of Russia's fall was, the Soviet Union, in the crazy-ass Vietnam-style attack on Afghanistan and occupation. The ruling class know all this, and there's money-making behind it, predatory capitalism that are maneuvering it all over the place. Well, this guy kills maybe thousands of people, or at least hundreds of people, and he's a great hero, but one guy in this country kills one person, and he gets life. I mean, shouldn't there be some middle ground here? And I see the fellow as a war criminal, pure and simple. Pure and simple, a war criminal. Because he's not defending the shores of America. And don't give me that Twin Towers bit. We know that's bullshit. Next time, why don't we get old George Bush Jr. keelhaul and put him on the front of a ship like they used to do and head him towards the alleged enemies, whoever he wants to go. Let him be first. America's going to get a big wake-up as time goes on because they watch the movies so much. They think that we're all muscle-bound and powerful and nobody could ever take us. Well, I'm afraid that myth is going to be destroyed as time goes on. Well, the people of Hanover County, Virginia, all of them, absolutely, are up in arms because one Hanover County neighborhood are fuming after they found messages from the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, I don't know where we're getting. Let's see what this says. The Hollywood Ku Klux Klan, even though they don't realize it. This interview I did yesterday was from a black magazine. They asked me if I ever had contact from the Klan in Indiana. I said, nope, never have that I can remember. And to be perfectly honest, the way they operate, I don't need to have contact with them.
Wanted to come out here and pick it up and put it in the trash.
Well, strong feelings in this Hanover County neighborhood. That's after what appears to be messages left by the KKK scattered through yards along Walnut Grove Drive in Mechanicsville. Neighbors contacted CBS 6 to say they don't feel safe knowing someone is distributing what they call messages of hate before dawn. And although this has happened before in Central Virginia, people who live in the area say this is the first they've seen of it, and it's upsetting ahead of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday.
I don't believe in the KKK, and I want it to be in my yard. That's it.
And in the past, when this has happened in Hanover County, the sheriff's office says putting out flyers is legal, but they do take note of people moving around at night in residential areas. Well, we're gathered.
To live in Mechanicsville woke up this holiday weekend to find a flyer from the Ku Klux Klan lying in their driveway. We're told the flyer was found Saturday morning at homes on Walnut Grove Drive and surrounding areas. Folks who live in that area tell 8 News that they are surprised that the flyers were found in their neighborhood, saying they would never expect to see something like that here in Virginia.
Kennedy looks for a new way to wage his battle. It occurs to him that if everyone, even children, could see the Klan for its ridiculous and corrupt ways, perhaps it would lose its power.
He understood that's what the common man found as empowering about being in the Klan.
Mr. Maxwell, how are you?
Kennedy makes contact with the producers of the Superman radio show. The proposal? Provide information so the Man of Steel can take on a new enemy. Through his radio show and cartoons, Superman took on America's enemies in World War II as part of a successful PR strategy that reached millions of people. With the war now over, Superman is ready for a new evil.
revolutionary idea for a children's radio show to take on the historic hate group that defines hate in America? Wow, that was big.
Though Superman is about to fight the Klan on the airwaves, it remained to be seen if the Man of Steel could help Kennedy with his real-world mission.
So that's how Superman defeated the Klan. Yeah. Well, Superman, all that stuff was created by Jewish writers. I hope you know that, in New York City. So this guy infiltrates the Klan, this guy by the name of Kennedy, to tip off the Superman radio show on how to picture them. You know, this whole idea of the Klan trying to wake up the white people is ridiculous. The white people don't want to be woken up, or especially they don't want to be woken up by the KKK out of Hollywood. So somebody puts a little warning of their enemies on their lawn and tries to educate them. And these are all white people. These are all fucking white people. And the Klan is making it's embarrassing to white racial separatists. It's embarrassing to me that I once was in the organization. And I did the same thing. We put thousands of newspapers out on people's lawns. We rode around the back of a pickup truck in the middle of the night and threw papers all over hell. Didn't do a damn bit of good. It's going to take something else to wake those white people up, if they wake up at all. So I don't give a shit. I'm not going to, if the niggers want to tromp on their yards in the middle of the night and drag the white women out by the hair, what can I do about it? They don't want to listen, so they'll have to feel. But the sad thing about it is we are surrounded by those kind of people all around us, your neighbors, all over the place. We don't want to be woken up. We don't like these people who like white people. Well, aren't you white? Well, yeah, I'm white, but I'm not that kind of white. I just don't want to get in trouble. Yeah. So I'll go along with whatever the goddamn system tells me, whatever that television set tells me. Come on, man. Hey, come on, take my leaflet here. I'm going to wake you up about the danger of runaway Negroes. Are you kidding? I would never take that. How Superman defeated the Klan? Well, he really didn't. The Klan is still around. Superman's sort of passé, except for a couple of old movies they're running, you know. But that's what Americans need, mythology, to keep them going, thinking they're number one. We're top country. We've got all the power. We've got all the weapons. We got everything. Don't fuck with us. And we'll send every damn youngster in the country over there to beat on those savage Iraqis. Well, we got another crisis here. Yeah, it's... where is it? I forgot where it was. Anyhow, early Thursday morning, a white survivalist with racist tendencies, first time I've heard it's called racist tendencies, and an apparent belief in the zombie apocalypse, shot a black police chief 4 times, including 3 times in the chest, and he was not arrested or charged. Dallas Horton, 29, shot Lewis Ross, the Sentinel, Oklahoma police chief who entered Horton's home after Ouachita County 9/11, received 2 calls from a man who identified him as Dallas Horton and claimed to have a bomb inside of a preschool, unquote, according to a press release from the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. Although Horton claimed, and agents believed, that the man was unaware it was officers who made entry. Ross, who was shot, said that he entered the home after 5 officers screamed that they were officers of the law and announced their presence. Well, hell, if a guy had a TV turned up very loud, he wouldn't hear that. The last thing Ross says, he remembers identifying himself as a law officer, according to the Nye Daily News. Sources say Ross only survived the shooting because he was wearing a bulletproof vest, and the shot that hit him in the arm went clean through, unquote. Officers took Horton into custody and said that they had insufficient evidence for an arrest, meaning they fucked up badly and they're covering up. Okay. Let's see here. A Facebook profile identified by Raw Story, a left-wing Jew and Christian-operated bullshit that won't let me even comment on their website, from a Dallas Horton Sentinel contains numerous racist images, including a blood-spattered 18-wheeler cab with human limbs sticking out of it, and the caption, quote, "just drove through Ferguson," unquote. It reads, quote, "didn't see any problems," unquote. The mayor of the Sentinel, Sam Lugansky, very interesting, who said he has known this kid all of his life, described Horton as a gun enthusiast and a survivalist. There were signs on his front door that said, "certified zombie killer," and warning, "zombies inside. Enter at your own risk," according to the local TV station. As for the original reason officers stormed Horton's home, the bomb threat on a Head Start program, that investigation is still going on, according to Jessica Brown, a spokeswoman for the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. Yeah, this is heavy stuff. More crisis all the time. Deny Daily News is reporting to detectives. Whoop. That's over. Okay. I'll close off with what your kids are getting in school, and believe me, they're eating it up.
Black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
I have a dream. My four little children
will one day live in a nation
where they will not be judged by the color of their skin,
but the content of their character.
And I like that because he's not just thinking about, like, what's happening right then, but also, like, generations after him.
Today, we go to school with different races, be able to have friends with different races, and to be able to talk to different races.
It's not just for, like, black and white people, it's also for, like, all races.
He doesn't want people to be, like, separated by segregation.
Even though people made mistakes, we can still fix that.
And let's have everyone be a unified nation.
Today, I can go to ballet class no matter what race I am. I can go to school with other kids with different races. And black and white people can both vote.
My dream is that women get the same rights as men. For everybody to have a great education,
there should be more homes for people who don't have a home.
For people that are, like, gay, to have equal rights, like, to be married wherever they want, and then, like, for people to not judge them.
So there you go, this James Earl Ray Day of January the 19th, 2015. Again, James Earl Ray Day. And I have his book around here someplace, unless it's gotten away from me like a couple of others. I had a letter, personal letter from James Earl Ray in that book. But anyhow, this is the way it goes, and I'm not telling you to go out there and go crazy, but I'm going to tell you, this stuff can drive you a little bit crazy and around the bend, but you're just going to have to be smart and operate smart and don't run around throwing crap on people's lawns because it don't make no never mind. The system will bring on the punishment for our racial friends who don't listen. The system itself is punishing them, and it's going to get a lot worse. So just step back, stand by, have a cool one, and all things will come your way. All your enemies will float down the river in front of you. That's it, 14:5.
I'm a soldier. You're neither. You're an errand boy sent by grocery clerks.